Welcome to Career Tools. Today's cast, moving with your job, relocation packages. As Mike would say, here we go. Welcome, everybody, to a historic first at Manager Tools and Career Tools. I'm Mark Horstman, one of the co-founders. You're probably used to hearing Mike Ozan's voice at this point in the cast. We have a special treat for you. For only the third time in Manager Tools history, Career Tools history, a different voice other than Mike and I's is going to be on the podcast. Tonight's podcast features myself and Wendy Lord, the manager of our Career Tools business. And I'm going to try to play Mike's role as best I can, big shoes to fill. And Wendy's going to play my role of knowing everything about careers. And since she knows more than me, she's going to be able to fill my shoes just fine. So, welcome, Wendy, to your first ever Career Tools cast.
Hey, everybody.
So, this podcast is about moving with your job, making it possible, or the part of it related to relocation packages. Moving isn't easy in the best of times. When you move and you have to change jobs, the interconnection of those two things makes for some complexity. There's much more stress than normal. There are a lot of websites out there, as you and I both know, with guidance on logistics of moving, but less about how to make the move with work. In other words, a professional move where you're staying within your company or perhaps changing companies. So, help us a little bit. How do you make it less stressful?
Okay, so the outline of today's cast is we're going to talk about three things. First of all, knowing what the company policy is. So knowing what you are allowed to have or entitled to, knowing what you can't have.
Right, okay, like, good.
Knowing what you can't have is really important, especially if your spouse is involved.
Yes.
We're going to go through a few things, a list of things that are on some and not other relocation packages, but things that you can expect to have.
Just to give them some sense of the scope of possibilities.
Exactly. This okay. is the universe.
Right.
Or at least not the whole universe, but some parts of it.
Right.
And we're going to talk about doing your own research. So often companies will have data that they can supply to you around cost of living and cost of housing right. and the employment market for your spouse in the place that you're going to. But doing your own research is also really important. So we're going to talk about that for a bit.
Their research may be dated.
Indeed.
Yeah, okay.
And it may not be the stuff that you really want to know.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
It's all
good.
Very well knowing there's school there, good. But how good is it?
Yeah. Okay.
For example. And the final thing we're going to cover is will your spouse work, which doesn't really come into relocation packages, but is actually a really important.
It's not a part of a relocation package, but you simply can't think clearly about your move and the relocation package that may be grease that helps you move without thinking first about, is my spouse going to work or not? How that's going to affect our income? How that's going to affect my spouse's well-being?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Therefore, indirectly, yeah. my well-being.
Yeah, if you're going to accept that relocation package and your spouse is going to be miserable, that may be a mistake.
Yeah, you're going to be happy making $10,000 more every year if your spouse is miserable.
Perhaps not.
And I think we've done the economic calculation, and a spouse being miserable is a negative $1 billion.
I think you could be right there.
Generally, it's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay, so first thing you said, know what the company policy is. Large companies, it's happened to me, of course. Big companies, those who move their people a lot, are going to have some people dedicated to managerial and executive moving, okay? They'll have policies which cover across the board and generally cover deeper and wider the higher you get up in the organization, right?
Yeah.
Everything from how they'll pay for the disposal of stuff you don't want to keep, like having people come and take it, to how many tickets they'll buy for you to fly to look for houses and what class of service that ticket would be in. Yeah. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about relocation packages.
Okay. So people kind of imagine that relocation packages only happen for people going abroad or people moving right. across the country.
Okay.
And they tend to think of them as something that only senior people get.
Right. And you're saying not so.
Which is not so, no.
Okay.
If you think about places where there are particular hiring difficulties. So, you know, if you might think of somewhere unattractive to go like Alaska, I wouldn't want to go
by
there.
The way,
it's too cold.
You are going to get emails from Alaska. Folks, send your emails to Wendy at manager-tools.com, not to Mark.
I moved to Texas Wendy for a reason.
Wendy just said Alaska is not attractive.
To me.
Yeah.
But if my perception of Alaska is a general perception that people don't want to move there, then there may well be relocation packages offered on top of salaries in order to attract the kind of people that they need.
Why not just pay more? Why not just pay salaries more?
Because the company has to pay your salary every year. If they pay your salary and a relocation package, which may cost them, say, $30,000 this year, then next year they only have to pay your salary. If your salary is $60,000, the relocation package is $30,000, they paid $90,000 this year, but they only have to pay $60,000 next year.
Yeah.
Or $62,000 or $63,000.
So it helps you with the move, but it doesn't create a new base for you going forward, exactly. Which, if you don't know this, generally benefits are priced as a percentage of your salary base. So if your salary goes up from $60,000 to $90,000, then the benefits cost to the company, whether you take advantage of them or not, goes up accordingly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Good.
So one of the things we did just to validate the experience that we have was we looked on the web just to see what kind of jobs and what kind of locations were offering relocation packages. So we only looked on Monster. It's a very casual way of looking. But the day we looked, there were relocation packages being paid for web interface designers in Nashville.
Which surprised me, frankly.
Yeah.
I think knowing Nashville, it's a good place to work. But it's wrong for me to assume that, well, that must say something bad about Nashville. What it says is the economy that exists for web interface designers in Nashville is so small that it is not a draw, and there are other places that web interface designers, at least in terms of the recruiting industry or the recruiting economy, they can't get people to go there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't say this word. Metallurgists. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, what's the British equivalent of that?
It's the same word.
Metal
it's just a word.
It's just you.
It's just a word I can't say.
First time podcast, folks. Anytime we do a first time podcast, don't put the word metallurgist in it. Yeah.
It was silly. I used to write words in that were hard for you to say.
Yeah, thank you.
Now I realize that may have been a mistake.
I foiled you for years because there are no words that I recognize
can't
as being
say.
Hard. Yeah.
So those people in Pittsburgh.
That's fascinating. Because you would think maybe it's the steel business has gone away from Pittsburgh, but
Java developers in Chicago. Now you'd think that Java developers, there were millions of them, and Chicago was a pretty attractive place to live.
Yeah.
But
I suspect that's a function of the fact that they're in Seattle, they're in Austin, they're in Silicon Valley, they're in New York in Silicon Alley, mm-hmm. And they're probably in Research Triangle Park. And the markets there are so hot that even though the Chicago market is fine, it's simply a relatively weak market compared to Silicon Alley, Silicon Valley, Silicon Forest. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And environmental safety positions in Louisiana and Ohio.
So now, environmental safety positions in Louisiana would be a function of the oil business. And in Ohio, probably a function of the mining business and fracking and so on. And there's so much in demand relative to the rest of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think most people wouldn't imagine that individual contributor level jobs...
Right, exactly. Yeah.
...offered relocation packages.
Yeah.
So that just goes to prove that they do.
The point we're making is don't assume it's more senior people. Don't assume it's only for people making more than $100,000 a year. Now, that doesn't mean that you can immediately say, well, I won't move unless you give me a big package. Okay, good.
No, but you do need to know, if... Potentially, you'd never imagine that you would need to know. It's quite possible.
I have to say, here's a thought that I had. Now, you tell me if this is wrong. Let's say I'm a Java developer in Atlanta, and my company wants to move me to Dallas, and they're not offering me a relocation package. Is it wrong for me to say, look, I'd love to go, and in fact, I know the boss over there, and yet I did some research, and if you asked me to move to Chicago, I'm guessing you'd have to provide some relocation. Is there an opportunity for me to at least discuss relocation to Dallas because it's going to be expensive for me to move? Is that an okay discussion to have with my firm?
I think that's an okay discussion to have, even if you don't know that Java developers in Chicago are being offered relocation packages. I think.
Give me an example, then. I'll put you on the spot because this is not in the show notes. Give me an example of a clumsy way to say it. In other words, to broach the conversation of I'm in Atlanta, you're asking me to go to Dallas, give me an example of a clumsy way, a stupid way, a career-limiting move way to say, oh, well, I won't, you know, let's talk relocation.
Boss, I'm not going unless you give me relocation.
Okay, so an ultimatum. Generally, what you're saying is ultimatums don't work. I found that to be true as well. So we're in sync on that one, yeah. Give me an example of a way that you might broach it, if you knew, whether you knew about Chicago or not.
Okay. Then I might say, boss, I'm really excited by the opportunity to move to Dallas, but obviously that's going to have some impact on my family,
yeah.
And it's going to cost some money for me to move. The houses are more expensive over there, and there's some issues there. Is it possible that we could talk about some kind of compensation or how we can work that out to our mutual benefit?
Yeah. The only thing I'd change about that is you say I'd love to move, and then you said but. I would say I'd love to move. And, right? But then you use two more ands afterwards. So, okay, good.
Yeah.
So give us a list. Tell me about help people understand the scope of things. Not that every company does all of this. Some companies do some subset. Bigger companies, higher levels, tend to do a greater subset. Walk us through some of the list.
Okay, so the first one might surprise you because it happens before you've accepted another role.
Yeah, this one really surprised me. Yeah.
But the cost of a familiarization and house hunting trip for you and your family. So, for instance, if you're moving to somewhere that you've never been to.
Paris. Let's pick Paris, okay?
Okay, we're moving to
not
Paris.
Not Paris, Texas, which is cool.
Paris, France,
right, okay. Yes.
Okay. If you've never been there before and your spouse has never been there before, you might be quite, you know, well, it sounds like a lovely place, but I'm not sure that I want to live there, right?
Yeah.
And so the cost of a trip over there for you to go and have a look and understand the housing market over there and what kind of houses there are and what kind of schools there are and all of that kind of stuff, a week or maybe a weekend and a couple of weekdays might be perfectly reasonable for you to do that.
Okay. Good.
Okay. If you're moving within your company, so your company is moving you from wherever to Paris, France, then you would expect to have that time off, that time as time off with pay.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't expect to be taking vacation time to do that.
But an a salary person wouldn't think of it as being time off with pay. They just say, I'm not going to be working.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would expect you to pay me. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So then moving expenses, which is possibly fairly obvious, but moving expenses, including a service of people coming in, packing all your boxes, putting them on the truck, driving the truck to wherever, and then unpacking for you. It's unusual in a corporate move for you to actually have to do your own packing and unpacking.
Yeah, in fact, not unusual in the military. The military actually is the reason, it is why companies provide this service, because they started competing with the military 60, 70 years ago in the States after World War II. And the military now offers, we'll move you, or we'll pay you to move, and you'll be the labor, and it's a much lower rate, but you still make out like a bandit if you're willing to move yourself. But I have found the similar experience to you that it's unlikely that they would do that. I mean, you could broach that subject, but I frankly wouldn't recommend it, because if you're worth the kind of package that this would imply, then your time is more valuable than the dollars they'll pay you to pack up boxes. Right. Good.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. And then, of course, you need travel expenses to get to wherever you're going, since you and your family are not going to get in the truck.
Right.
Often you can get, or not often, sometimes offered is assistance in the sale of your old home. So sometimes companies have a realtor on contract who will come and do all of the work of selling your house. Sometimes they'll give you a cost so you can spend up to, or they'll give you a contribution and you can spend more than that in selling your old home. And in really senior packages, usually the mortgage payments, if your house won't sell, are sometimes paid.
Fair to say that in 2012, and maybe for the next couple of years, with the mortgage markets being so roiled, hard to predict how that piece of the benefit package would play out in a certain case.
Yeah, for sure. And how it could be possible that you might benefit from it, and it could equally be offered and you'd still not benefit.
The
way the housing market is.
The whole underwater thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's so messy. That's something you've really got to calculate on an individual basis.
Okay,
so then when you get to the other end, assistance in purchasing or renting a new home, often a company will offer you 3 months of the payment of your rent while you find a house to buy.
Right.
Or you know, again, they'll provide real estate services for you to buy the house that you're going to.
And Wendy struggles with real estate services because in the UK, there's no real estate agents. There's only estate agents, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
But she's catching on. Okay.
I'm trying hard. Okay, so the next one on our list is a salary increase, which takes account of the cost of living differences. So if you're moving from, well, pretty much anywhere to London, your cost of living is going to go up.
It's going to triple. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you move from New York, it's only double, but everywhere else in the world, it's triple, and from Shanghai, it's five times.
So you would expect that your salary will increase to cover the difference in cost of living.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you return, your salary goes down again because that cost of
living. Oh, is that right?
That cost of living is a specific cost of living.
It is tacked on to your salary. It's part
exactly.
of the expatriate package that you're getting.
It's not your salary.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah. So don't get used to it. Help with understanding it and dealing with tax implications. If you move with countries, particularly within a tax year, your tax can become particularly complex. And often companies will give you the names of people who specialize in expatriate tax.
And in fact, you're doing that now, living in the States and being a Brit.
I have a specialist guy who does English and US taxes and understands both systems. Okay, so schooling allowance for children. Obviously, the schooling systems in different countries, obviously this doesn't apply within the States, but schooling systems within different countries are very different.
And are you suggesting that schooling within different regions of the United States are not very different? Because, in fact, there would be people who argue with you. Sorry, I'm kidding. Okay, yeah.
The system is...
Well, you even said, I think you said to me earlier this evening that an American... I mean, I mentioned the example of our good friend Karen Adams, a senior executive, former senior executive with HSBC, and Mike and I got to know her when she was in Jordan. She was the CEO of HSBC in Jordan, and her husband Wes and their two kids were expats in the HSBC expat program, and their kids went to American schools in Jordan. But you made the point that there are American schools in Britain.
There are American schools in Britain.
Yeah. And the reason is because...
Is not only because English and American is so difficult that the children can't understand
two countries
English
separated
teachers.
By a common language.
Yeah, it's not that they can't understand their English teachers. It's because if you go for a limited amount of time, the school systems are so different that the children won't be able to go back to... They will be able to go, but it's difficult for them to go back into their own school system because they haven't been taught at the same level. A child in fifth grade in the US is being taught something very different to a child who would be in the first year of secondary school in England. And so
we're taught American history. I mean, you guys aren't, right?
No.
You're taught all that British history.
Exactly. And it takes longer because we've got more.
Yeah, well said. There is one more you lost, though. I remember that.
And those schools are always invariably private schools. And have to be paid for, and are very expensive. So,
Okay, good.
If you're not used to paying for your child to go to school, then an allowance for that.
Yeah.
There's often also a medical allowance. Again, there's a standard of medical care that particularly Americans, but anybody who grows up in any country gets used to a standard of medical care.
Right.
And there's a
and if
cost.
There's a notable difference where you're going, there's an allowance made for
to
that.
To make up for that, exactly. Okay. Career counseling for your spouse. So we're going to talk about spouses in a minute, but some visas in some countries will allow your spouse to work and some won't.
Some not only won't, will specifically prohibit.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if you're moving within the US, if you're moving to somewhere where there is a limited employment market, your spouse may not be able to work in the job that they've been doing up until now. So career counseling and helping them find another role is sometimes included.
Right.
For companies that aren't big enough to have their own relocation teams.
Internally.
They will often have a relocation agency. So a service that they pay for where you get the same kind of service. You get one person, a point of contact who will go through all of the things with you, but they won't be actually working for your company.
They'll be
a service. Language lessons are sometimes included in relocation packages.
My gut tells me that's a little bit more senior. simply because if you're more junior, look, if I'm your director and you're a manager and you're moving from here to Sao Paulo, I'm going to say, get Rosetta Stone, dude. You got to learn Portuguese. And if you're the CEO, they're going to hire you a personal Berlitz coach who's going to sleep with you practically for the next 3 months, and you're going to become tolerable in the language. Yeah, and I've had people say they don't speak the language there, which I don't think is a bad decision about where to go on vacation. If you're sailing and you prefer to sail somewhere where they speak English and they take American dollars. But in terms of turning down an opportunity to go to China, for instance, in the modern world, to experience the burgeoning Chinese economy and the economic freedoms that are occurring there, to say, well, they don't speak English there, is penny wise and pound foolish, maybe.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
And Rosetta Stone, you're certainly not going to become an expert on Mandarin in 3 months or 6 months, but you might be able to get by.
Yeah. And many people's experience of learning languages, like their experience of math when they were kids, it was a lot harder because you weren't interested.
Yeah.
If you're really motivated, it's easier.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that, because math was not your thing, and yet you wrote your dissertation in German, yeah?
I did.
Yeah? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, and so then the last point we have on this list is assistance with returning to the home country. And often when people are in the throes of being expatriated, so they're at the beginning of that process, they are like, I'm going to China for 2 years, I'm really excited. They don't think about coming home and finding the right position when they come home. And actually coming home can be harder, both on you and your family, than actually going out there.
Yeah, you mentioned Asia, and I the part about language, it brings to mind a friend of mine, John Kim, and who said once, I can tell the expats that come over. John's originally from Korea and has worked in China and Japan, so on. Great guy, started at Coke, been at McDonald's, and he said, look, when the expats come over, it's simple. I know whether or not they learn the language. If they learn the language, they're going to be fine. If not, they don't. And it's not quite that simple, but it's a really good proxy for whether or not somebody is truly making the move or they're just putting their toe in the water.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Tell me more about the relocation policy in general, right? There's a long list here. Does it tend to vary? I mean, obviously within one company, there's some discretion, some verticality.
Yeah, usually more senior people get a more comprehensive package.
Right.
They get more flexibility. They probably get more, you know, that their return home trips are more often and probably in business or first class rather than in coach.
Yeah.
And the more senior you are, the more likely you are to be able to negotiate the package. Negotiate in a second.
What about government, academia?
And they're pretty tight. They're pretty prescriptive about what you can have, what you can't have, who you can use, what
this is the deal.
You can use.
If you want some flexibility, we can't really do it. If you're uncomfortable with this, then you need to say no to the move.
Yeah, which is typical government and academia in general.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long.